14 and a half before 6 o'clock. Yes, Jason Cans, you heard me right. 30 degrees. We're not below zero today.
That is a pretty remarkable increase in temperature.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's quite the turnaround.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy it for a couple of days, and then we go from the warm day of the week. Tomorrow's 37, all of a sudden 11 on Saturday, 10 below Saturday night, 14 below Sunday night, 15 below Monday night.
My gosh.
And it's going to stay below zero during the day on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, 4 above.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Impressively cold.
I don't usually get excited to talk about the weather, but that's kind of noteworthy.
So. It is. It is definitely noteworthy. Yeah, I came out of work last night, and there was a shocking amount of snow in the air, which I was not expecting.
So, uh-huh.
Yeah. That was different.
It was, and I needed to go to Walmart to send money for Teamwork Africa. So it was in the midst of the snow. And I think when my wife asked me, and I agreed, it was not the snow and freezing rain, but the forecast was accurate. So.
Yep.
I showed up for my men's group, and it was like a fix-it night at church, and the only guys that showed up were for that. Nobody really.
Nice.
The one guy that was there for the study said, you know what, I'm going to go join the fix-it team. So let me go home.
There you go.
And I got one of the best deals in town, which your middle child works at Quick Trip. So the Quick Trip, the chicken tenders on Wednesdays, when you can get the 8-pack for $9.99, it's $5 off. It's a pretty good deal.
It is. Those are, their chicken strips are amazing for those who have not had them. They're large and crispy and, they're good stuff.
You go somewhere else, though, and you kind of, it's saying something when for a convenience store, you compare their food and say, this isn't as good as the Quick Trip ones.
Yep. Yeah. I think their frozen pizza is my favorite of all frozen pizzas.
Oh, so, Quick Trips?
Yep.
I haven't tried that.
Pizza is there. Yep.
All right. What's the brand name for that? Just Quick Trip?
Pothole Pizza.
Pothole Pizza. Okay. Yeah. That's an interesting name.
Yep. I don't know if it's like a pothole cover or what the story is, but they're very good.
I did not watch President Biden's farewell address last night. I'll be honest.
I also did not watch that last night.
Mm-hmm.
I watched some television instead. So
My wife likes Murdoch Mysteries, and I watched a little bit with her last night, but... she really likes it, and I'm just not on the same level.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've watched one or two episodes of that show, and it just did not hook me. So,
but I did watch the end of Monk the other night, and so what I did is my son's like, you know, season 7 and 8, I just really had to skip and go to the end. But Tony Shalhoub is just so good in that show.
Yeah, the end of Monk is one of the most beautiful parts of television I've ever seen.
Yeah,
for those who have not watched it.
It's interesting. Craig T. Nelson has a significant role in that last episode or two.
Yeah.
And from Coach on ABC. And there's a new movie, Green and Gold or something, and it's going to be shown at the MyCon. I know the budget. And it involves, like, this farmer who bets it all on whether the Packers win or not, whether he gets to keep his farm. So,
Interesting.
But he's 80 years old now, and he sang the national anthem at the Packer-Bear game to end the season.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Everybody's
Coach,
aging.
That's a blast from the past. Yeah,
Everybody's aging. So, Shelley Fabre was on the coach
Shelley
with him.
Fabre. Yeah. Yep. Jerry Van Dyke.
Oh, yeah. Very funny. Very funny. The Van Dykes. Just so is Jerry, is he Dick's brother?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know when he died. I assume he's not around any longer, although Dick still is.
Yeah. Is Dick, he's right around 100, I think.
Yep. Coming up on it.
All right, there you go. That's basically the first 5 minutes of the day. It's two brothers from another mother just talking about whatever.
Right, exactly. Just life.
All right. I think we're up to 36, but it's just a lot of verses today in Acts 10, 36 through 43. Can you sum it up for us or what?
Boy, that is a good question. How do you even sum that up? I don't even know how to pull it together.
All right, we'll think about it for another time, maybe tomorrow.
Sure. Anyway. That sounds good. Okay. Right.
Today's number is 69. That is the record for the most babies born to one woman. God bless her. While the woman's name is not known, she lived in Shua, Russia from 1707 to 1782. That's a lot of kids. Hey, before we jump into this real quick, some people are wondering, Donna messaging me this morning. She's like, did you get an answer on trivia? We did. Mark in Chippewa Falls knew 600 video rental stores remaining. So that was the answer yesterday.
There you go. So found this interesting this morning. The average adult will try 126 different diets during their life. 126.
Yeah.
That's a ton.
Yeah, I've got a friend who said he tried about 35. So, yeah, that's still a lot more to get to 126. So you've been saying Livia is the way to go.
Yeah, and again, this isn't supposed to be just an extra ad for Livia, but I mean, I'd say, man, if you're in one of those that tried dozens of different solutions, L-I-V-E-A, Livia.com. So maybe you're not calling it a diet. Maybe you're just eating differently, and I suppose that's why there are so many different variations here. But a study found that the average adult will try, again, 126 different diets during the course of their life.
Assuming you begin adulthood at 18, that's about two diets a year.
That's a lot. Also, we found this interesting. The average person, how long they'll stick with a hobby. The shelf life of a typical hobby is just 16 months. Mm-hmm. Researchers who polled 2,000 different adults identified work commitments, busy family life, and lack of motivation as the reasons we don't stick with our hobbies for longer.
Yeah, 25% of adults have quit a hobby, having never used any of the items or accessories they purchased especially for the hobby.
For those with a hobby, the average person will dedicate 245 hours a year to it, more than 10 days over a 12-month period.
So we were talking some off the air about what our hobbies might be.
Well, yeah, because it's like I don't do woodworking or putting together model cars or something like that, too. And it's like, do I have a hobby? I don't know. I mean, I love to read, but I don't know if that counts.
See, I totally put being a sports fan in there. I mean, I listen to sports talk radio. I watch sports. Watching sports, for those non-sports fans, they watch you. Those of us who do watch it and go, wow, you invest a lot of time in that.
Here's the sad thing, Mark. If watching sports counts as a hobby,
yeah,
it's probably a lot more than 245 right. hours a year, if I'm being honest.
No, it's just enjoyable. It's fun. But other people are just not as into it. So yeah. I count it as a hobby.
Following our Wisconsin sports teams, that'll be my hobby.
There we go. Been a passion since I was a kid and sticking with it. Bucks, Badgers, Brewers, Packers.
So I found this interesting. We have a list here, Halvo, of some of the competitive eating records around the globe, I guess. And this sort of was sparked by a conversation we had around dinner yesterday as our owners, the stewards, treated the entire staff to a wonderful lunch, kind of our post-Christmas gathering together. And it's amazing sometimes in a world where there are less and less live people, I think, at radio stations, to see just how large the staff is when we're all gathered together. So, and what was interesting yesterday as we were having this conversation is I had kind of Michelle and I had egged Sam on a little bit to try this very large burger with 2 half-pound patties, so like a pound of meat. It was a very large, delicious burger, and Sam consumed it all. And then we started getting into this talk about competitive eating and how it's kind of interesting to see people who can really pack it away. And lo and behold, here we have a list of things that people have really packed away.
Yes, indeed we do. In fact, the International Federation of Competitive Eating now tracking over 200 different competitive eating categories. If you'd like to compete when you eat, there's probably a contest for you. All right, so we've got some of the more unusual items in this database.
So these are the records. So for instance, the record for the most hard-boiled eggs eaten in one sitting, 141.
Wow.
I like not imagine feeling well after that.
That's overdoing it. Cannoli at 34.
34 cannoli. This just disgusts me. I like it on a sandwich, not eating it with a spoon or whatever they must do. The record for the most mayonnaise eaten at one time, 4 32-ounce bowls. That's 128 ounces of mayo.
Wow. They should have that contest at the halftime of the mayonnaise bowl, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, shrimp, the record, 4 pounds, 15 ounces. That's a lot.
The record for the most peas eaten in one sitting, at least healthier, 9.5 1-pound bowls.
Huh.
It's a lot of peas.
Again, remember we said some of the more unusual categories like beef tongue. You weren't asking for this, but 3 pounds, 3 ounces of beef tongue, that is the record.
How about 91 Chinese dumplings, the most ever eaten in one sitting?
That is a lot. You got the all-you-can-eat Chinese restaurants like, okay, you're violating something. Butter? How about 7 quarter-pound sticks of salted butter?
Who just eats, other than my dog, who just eats butter?
Wow.
Twinkies, You're saying, that sounds pretty good. I'd eat some Twinkies. Could you eat 121?
No.
Or I guess 122 to break the record?
Not good for
good
your health.
Good gracious.
Oh, lobster rolls, 41.
Grilled cheese sandwiches. Love a grilled cheese with some soup on a cold winter's day. But somebody ate 47 of them at one time.
Draw the line somewhere, please. And waffles, 29. Okay.
There you go. Some of the most unusual items from the database of the International Federation of Competitive Eating.
If I could play a song called Moderation, I would. Instead, right. Maverick City Music with Yet on Whip.
So I think a lot of households have at least one member who is very particular about the way the dishwasher is loaded. I'm not sure if that's true for you guys in the Halverson household, but maybe.
Well, I told you this off the air that, you know, our house used to have more people. We're down these days, although... but I'd say that you can find yourself wanting other people, like, hey, you can load the dishwasher sometime if you don't wash your dish. And then when they do, you go, well, not like that.
Right. So maybe you're the person. Maybe you're the particular person.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If your dishwasher is not doing the job, it could be the fault of the instructions given by your dishwasher manufacturers. Researchers at the University of Birmingham did the dirty work and found the trick is to load the dishwasher in a circular fashion, not in straight rows. So again, the instructions from the manufacturer might be like, no, you load everything in straight rows. That's honestly the way I would do it. But they're saying, no, do it differently.
Trying to understand how that would work. Anyhow, dishes should also be grouped together by stain.
Carbohydrate stained dishes should be placed in the middle of the dishwasher's drawers, while protein stained items should be put in an inward facing ring around them. This just seems like way more work.
Yeah, that sounds
I use the dishwasher for less work.
I mean, here's the thing. And make sure, here's the other pet peeve, like with the dishwasher is, like, you didn't rinse that. If you don't rinse the bowl or things, especially as the dishwasher gets along in years, I mean,
it's not
what good is that? You just wasted all that water and everything, the heat, and it's still dirty.
I think I've mentioned this before. My grandma and grandpa down in Southwest Iowa, so many times my grandma would... before she put the dishes in the dishwasher, would basically wash the plates and then put them in the dishwasher afterwards.
Right.
So kind of like double wash too. Yep. And it's like, you're just like, well, that's what gets them clean.
I relate
to
your grandma.
There you go.
You got to, because otherwise, I mean, if you didn't sufficiently rinse at least, then you're going to have problems afterwards.
Again, how do you load the dishwasher in a circular fashion? Like, thanks, University of Birmingham, for doing this, but maybe include some pictures.
I know. Oh, the Whip Wake Up Show on WWIB. And this next segment seems to really fit for the month of January, I think.
Yeah, because a lot of people, maybe their goal resolution is simplifying things or decluttering can be a very common New Year's resolution. Well, becomingminimalist.com has some ways to help you jumpstart your decluttering. So do with this info what you will.
Absolutely. I'm just going to say up front, we did a lot of this when we moved to Africa, or my wife did. And it was really amazing. You don't realize how much stuff you have until you try to do this.
This is the thing. When you are moving or, say, helping someone else move, you realize it's like, wow, you accumulate a lot. And we have so much in this country, right, where it's like, wow.
It
really piles up, and we just become used to it.
This is a very practical segment. First of all, dump the clothes you don't wear. Most of us have too many, but we still wear the same things over and over.
So, again, if you're not wearing them, get rid of them. I could put that into practice myself. Trying to simplify in 2025, decluttering tips. Unidentifiable items in your junk drawer. It's the Midwest. We all have the junk drawer, right? But you know what? Maybe you're not ready to get rid of the entire junk drawer, but you can easily remove the items that have no name, no place, and no meaning that haven't been touched or even thought of in a year or more. So again, take a look through it. And it's like, wow, I didn't even know that was in here. All right, get rid of it.
This next one. Lotions and potions. Get all of your lotions, your potions, your makeup, your shampoo, and other products into one place. Put the things you use every day back where they belong and toss the rest.
There you go. What about kids' stuff? Because, again, those can really, really fill up a house, right? I know that with four children of my own. And, okay, you don't want to shame your kids about how messy things are. But instead, make it fun for them. Maybe announce a prize for every 10 things they can collect to donate, to give to others in need, and can clean up a little bit as well, too. So what are the things they actually play with, and what are the things that maybe they're just holding on to because they don't want to give it up, and help them make some good choices, learn to give to others that way.
Just a couple more decluttering tips on the Whip Wake Up Show. Extra dishes. If you have two sets of dishware, silverware, or glassware, one can go.
There you go. And one final decluttering tip, other people's stuff. If your home has become a storage facility for friends and family, maybe time to make a few phone calls. I think, honestly, my in-laws might still have some of our stuff from when we moved several years ago. But anyway, be kind, give notice, and again, politely ask folks to remove their stuff, or you can offer to help if they aren't interested, and keep your home from becoming storage facility for other people's junk.
Some wonderful, practical decluttering tips on the Wib Wake Up Show with Calvo. Calvo.
There we go.
Blend us together. It's Calvo and Caleb on the Wib Wake Up Show.